Hallelujah. Praise God. Go to Luke chapter 19. I feel I need to say this after saying what I said in the offering because I think it's hard for people to understand. I'm glad the way God did it, you know, didn't show me anything. I think it's hard for people to understand that there are certain things I just got to say to obey Him, you know. And I remember a story. It was Sister Amy Simple McPherson was used mightily of God. She built Angelus Temple over there in Los Angeles and had miracle signs and wonders operating in her ministry. And actually, Pastor Nancy Dufresne has since purchased her home. And they were in a service one time with her, and there was a minister in the service. Now, Sister Amy was very flamboyant. Her clothes and the way she ministered, just very different. But she had the fruit to back it up. She just was just a different character, right? Just her clothes, very big and flowy, and she just was very, I don't know, poetic in the way she, just different, you know? But she had the power flowing in her, and God used her. And the minister was sitting in the service, and God told a minister that was in one of her meetings, He said, the guy next to you, I can't remember what area it was that they were struggling in. He said, you need to tell the guy next to you he needs to fix that. He's about to die. And the minister said to the Lord, and his heart said, I can't tell him that. I can't tell him that. The Spirit of God told him again, the person sitting next to you is mixed up in so-and-so, and they're about to die. You need to tell them to fix that. And again, the minister said, I can't do that. Well, Sister Amy comes out, and she starts ministering. And the minister that was told by God sees her. He's not been in one of her meetings, I don't believe. Sees how like flamboyant she is and sees how just different she is. And he starts, it's different to what he's used to. And he starts to criticize in his mind thinking, why? He knows she has fruit in her ministry. Or he knows that she has fruit in her ministry. People are getting saved, miracle signs and wonders. But he starts to question, he says, why do you use her? Why is she being used? Well, then, and he's like, I don't understand why you'd use someone like that. He's just questioning that. Well, Sister Amy starts ministering, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the service, she stops and looks to the guy next to the minister and says, you need to change your life. Death is all over you. You're about to die. And the Spirit of God told him, he said, that's why I use her. She'll say what I need her to say. She'll say what I tell her to say. And I'll tell you what, when the Lord dropped that in me, I rejoiced. I said, well, praise God. Whoever sows that seed is going to get a harvest. Praise God. But I have to say whatever God tells me to say, comfortable or uncomfortable. And again, we always filter it through the Word. And again, there's no manipulation there. You know if God's told you to sow a $10,000 seed or not. If He hasn't, then don't sit around thinking, was it me? Was it me? No. You'll know it if it was you. It wasn't to start putting thoughts in people's head, well, maybe it was me, I should do that. No. This person knows they're supposed to do it, and they've just been wrestling with it. Amen? Well, maybe that's why God will use me, because I'll just say whatever, praise God. I just love Him so much, you know. But Father, we love You today. We praise You. Lord, You're so good to us. We glorify and magnify. We'll be obedient to You, Father. We're so thankful for what You're going to do in this service today. Father, speak through me that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, I pray that the word would be ministered in boldness and utterance today. And Father, as I open my mouth, something will come out that will strike a chord in everybody's heart. And we'll go to a new level of glory and we'll walk out of here changed. And Father, we're so grateful and so excited about what You have for us today. We give You the praise and glory for everything that will be done. It's only because of You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Luke chapter 19 and verse 41. This is going to be a little different service today, but that's okay. We just follow the Holy Ghost. It says, when Jesus was come near, He beheld the city. By the way, we're getting that projector worked on. That's why it's off. We don't have anything against that screen. We're not biased, you know, so we're getting that fixed. When He has come near, beheld the city. This is Jesus. When He beheld the city, He's talking about Jerusalem. He wept over it. Jesus was brokenhearted when He saw Jerusalem. Why? Verse 42. Saying, if you had known, even you, at least in this day, the things which belong unto your peace, but now they are hid from your eyes. For the day shall come upon you that your enemies shall cast a trench about you, encompass you round, and keep you in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, And they shall not leave in you one stone upon another because. So he's saying, if you knew what belonged to you, if you knew what you had, the blessing would be immense and wonderful. But because you don't, this is going to befall you, and this negative things that he speaks about is going to happen in your life. And he says, why here? Because you knewest not the time of your visitation. What was he talking about? A whole nation missed what God was doing and how God was doing it in their midst. It was through Jesus. That was the flow of what God was doing. That was the plan of God. That was the move of God. And the whole nation of Israel missed it. And Jesus knew it and wept. And he said, if you'd know, you'd receive from me. But because you don't recognize what I am and what the plan of God is and what God's doing, you don't receive from it. And because of that, you're missing out. And struggle is going to come to you. Their visitation. Praise God. They missed it. Well, the Bible says, my people are destroyed for what they don't know. The Bible says if you know the truth, you'll be set free. It's not enough that there's truth. You got to know the truth. Amen. Amen? Amen? There are Christians going to heaven, sweet people, love the Lord, but are in churches and grew up not knowing a lick about the Bible, not knowing a lick about divine healing, not knowing a lick about prosperity and how to raise their children, what to do with their money. And they're living in ignorance, and they're not walking in abundant life, and they're not walking in the blessings because they just don't know. Well, we're going to know around here, amen?
Amen.
Now, this is where what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to do a Holy Ghost connect the dots here this morning in this message. So bear with me as we try to get these things out. But if you don't recognize it, I need to tell you. What happened in these meetings, starting with the Sunday night service in Fredonia, all the way through in certain things that were said, and I'll bring some of these things up. Like the prophet said, they stayed in the prophetic office, if you didn't know. They have different equipment than your pastor has. But the prophet said what the prophets come in and do, and they stamp their approval and give their confirmation. And things that came out of his and her mouth are nothing new that we have not been hearing all along from your pastor. But what they did is they came up and sealed the deal and confirmed and put a stamp of approval on it. Now, the reason we're having almost like a state of the church address is because people have to recognize, and I'm going to point some specific things out to enlighten you today, that this place here, this church here in this city is supernatural. It's not just a man-made idea. It's not just God thought, like a man thought and man just did it and hoped God would bless it. No, God's purpose and plans was to put a church in a rural town of a 600 and some population. Latest I checked, that's what the population was in South Dayton. Well, I want to show you some things because if you don't recognize the measure of this place, the anointing and the blessing on this place, you won't receive. Here they had Jesus in their midst. Had no idea. Had no clue that's what God was doing. And not only is this place here for everybody else, but you need to know what it is here for you as well. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to recognize our visitation. We need to recognize the miracle that this place is and what takes place between these walls. Amen?
Amen?
I mean, I could go around the room right now and I could point to certain people and say, I bet you're glad you came here. I think of Julie. She's over there in Children's Church. Healed of two diseases that are told incurable. Fibromyalgia and an asthma condition. That had her almost on it, thinking she was going to die at certain times, completely healed.
Amen.
After she came here.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I could talk about people's financial miracles, their businesses flourishing like never before when they got connected here.
Amen.
Things in their bodies clearing up.
Amen.
People that met their spouse in this church, their lives dramatically changed when they got faithful here. People that were told they could never have babies, having babies. Family members of faithful people here that were told they could never have babies, we put our faith on it and they've had babies. Amen.
Amen.
Miracles, financial testimonies of what's happened in these walls. And it's available to everybody. But you know the thing is that those people that I'm talking about, they have a recognition of the specialness of this place. And they have an expectation. And if we just come with this, it is what it is, you won't receive and we'll be hindered. So I want to help you with that today. Praise God. Are you ready? Now, before we go into some things, it was interesting when I was in Canada. If you go back to our Wednesday night service, not the past Wednesday when the Durants were here, but the Wednesday before, it was an interesting service. I was told to come home from Canada that week. I was at a Pastor Nancy meeting from Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. The Spirit of God told me, come home and minister in the Wednesday night service. It gave me direction on what to minister. And just to kind of give you a brief synopsis of what that was, when I was in Canada, when I got there on Sunday afternoon after church, I drove up there. And I'm taking my toiletry bag out of my duffel bag and I'm putting my stuff on the sink in the bathroom. And the Spirit of God speaks to me, like drops like a coat, like almost like if you'd feel like a blanket falling on you, it just dropped in me. And he corrected me. He said, you're not telling the people what's on your life and what the mandate for this ministry is. And I knew what he was talking about it. And he told me, he said, the more you talk about it, the more you'll see it come to pass. Well, what he was referring to, and I'm going to show the videos again because a lot of our Sunday morning crew has never seen these videos, was that I was supernaturally ministered to by two different ministers about what's on my life. But again, what's on my life is just meant for this church.
Amen?
Amen? And we have to recognize that because we could get into thinking, well, who does he think he is? I don't think I'm anybody. Apart from Jesus, I actually proved that I was pretty much a nothing in this world. And so the Lord corrected me and told me, go back Wednesday night and tell the people what I've done for you, what's on your life, and how the people need to get on board. Because if we're going to see miracles, signs, and wonders, it's more up to you than it is me. And we'll see some of that things here in a second. So I'm going to play those videos in a second. And when the Lord spoke that to me, I had shown the video before what happened, and we'd mentioned a little bit. I had backed off of it because I got in my head thinking, well, I don't want people to think I'm out promoting myself. And I had gotten a nasty email from a once faithful person who was with me for years, who got some things in their head and sent me the nastiest email. And one of the things they said, and I didn't realize at the time when I read it, but it got in me. They said, what was ministered to me, which you'll see in a minute, what was ministered to me is no more than another rung on the ladder of my success. That it's just something for me to climb on. And what you'll see in the services is when I was called out and ministered to, I was as surprised as anybody. Amen. But the neat thing about it is that God did that in a room full of other ministers. He told a minister in Colorado to fly all the way to Jamestown, New York to be in a set of meetings that he didn't even know if he was going to be able to minister.
Right.
The minister, Pastor Nancy Dufresne, picks up in her heart that minister has something. He gets up and then ministers to me and praise God.
Amen.
So it wasn't anything I put together or concocted, hallelujah. But it has to do with miracles, signs, and wonders. Now you need to know something about your pastor. I've been crying out for miracles, signs, and wonders since I got born again.
Amen.
Why? I am passionate about people getting born again.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, heaven's real, but so is hell.
Yeah.
Hell is just as real as heaven. And just speaking on that, there are people in here that the people that are closest to them are now going to heaven because of this place and this place alone.
Right.
It's the truth. Yeah. What God has done for people here, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And heaven is real, but so is hell. And see, miracles, signs, and wonders, all they do is lead to salvations.
Yeah.
We see over there in Acts chapter 3, when the man got healed that was lame since birth, Peter and John ran into him at the temple. He gets healed, and he goes down walking, leaping, and praising God. You know, you would too if you couldn't walk your whole life. Then all of a sudden you can walk. He was praising God. Well, that drew attention. People said, hey, that's a guy that couldn't walk. What's up with that? Well, then Peter got on board and said, well, they're wondering what it is. I'll tell them what it is. And he got up and preached Jesus. And 5,000 people got born again. 5,000 people are now in heaven because of one miracle. And so I've been crying out for these things. I remember when I first started this church, I had a meeting with Pastor Michael. I said, Pastor, these things are on my heart strong. He said, this is what you need to study in the Word. This is what you need to meditate on. This is what you need to be saying. And so when I was ministered to, I was surprised at how it came out. But it didn't surprise me, the content, because I've been crying out for this for years and years. I want to see people changed. I want to see people touched. Because, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. It's the power of God that separates our God from Buddha and separates our God from Muhammad. Because you get people with their gods. Why would somebody just choose to believe me over some sweet Muslim or some sweet Buddhist? They can come and be just as eloquent with their words and just as convincing with their words. It would leave an unbeliever, an ignorant person to think, how do I know Jesus is the way? How do I know Muhammad's not the way? How do I know it's not Buddha? How do I know it's not this way? Well, the one thing that's going to be the difference maker is the power. Amen. The power. Paul said that my speech and my preaching are not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. God said that He'll confirm His word with signs following. The reason that the word, when someone talks about Jesus, the reason we can stamp that and say He's the way is when the power shows up. Amen?
Amen.
Excuse me, I remember I was at... Before we get to the videos, I was at the gym at JCC years ago. And there's a gentleman by the name of Bob there. And he's an older guy in his 70s, you know. And he kind of is the guy that would come early and work out, hang out there. And everybody just knew him, you know. And one day, you know, he's always in a good mood, cheery, and he was down and out. And I went up to Bob and said, what's going on, Bob? He said, I had a test done, you know, and they're saying I have this, some incurable thing, you know. I said, my blood work, and it's not looking good, and I need to go to some special clinic, I believe it was out in Erie or something, to have some things checked out. And he was just down the dumps. I said, well, you know, Bob, the Bible says, I didn't know if he was a Christian or not, he wasn't, but I said, the Bible says that we can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. I said, would it be all right, Bob, if I laid hands on you? He said, sure. So I prayed right there in the gym. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you the power's hitting him right now. I thank you he's cured from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Well, a couple of days went by, you know, Bob went and had his test. I walk in and I sign in at the front desk and people are all talking, you know, they're all excited. I said, man, did you see Bobby? He's so happy, excited. I said, oh, man, what happened to Bob, you know? And ran in to see Bob over there at the workout, and he came up to me. He said, you're not going to believe this. He said, I went and got the test done. They can't find anything that they found a couple days ago. It's completely gone. That separates our God from another God. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. I remember, is it all right if I tell some stories? Just pull up a blanket and suck your thumb and listen to some stories. Amen? Hallelujah. That's what Abby would do. She was sitting next to me at Sister Annie service, and she did so good, you know, sitting there. And I thought, she looked up at me. She was sucking her thumb. She looked at me. She pulled it. I said, you can suck your thumb. Okay, Dad. She put that thing in and went to town. So, have at it, Abs. It's all yours. Must be anointed. You love that thing. And so I was leading youth group years ago. On a Friday, we had service, and I was driving around just worshiping and praising God. All of a sudden, I had a vision of the service that night. I haven't had a ton of visions in my life, but I've had a few. And I saw myself ministering to somebody in the service that night. And I saw myself sticking my index fingers in their ears and pulling them out and saying, be healed in Jesus' name. Well, I just kind of kept praying and put that on the shelf, you know, and didn't think anything of it. Got to youth group that night, and that night the some of the most faithful kids, the majority of the crowd, they weren't there. They had something at school that they couldn't avoid. They had to be at, so there was hardly anybody there. And there was one new girl, and I'm giving the salvation call, giving the opportunity for people to receive Jesus at the end of the service, and I'm doing that, and all of a sudden the vision flashes in my spirit again. I see it again, and I know that I'm supposed to minister that in that service. Well, then I start talking to myself in my head. And I said, I'm given the salvation call, but in my mind I'm saying, Lord, I know every single kid here. They tell me every single problem they ever have had. Yeah. They're kids. That's what they do. I said, nobody here has a hearing problem. And I said, the one girl that's brand new, she ain't going to come up. She's brand new. She's a teenager. She's self-conscious. She ain't coming up. That's what I'm telling my head. And again, I had that feeling, if I don't say it, I'm not going to sleep at night. Yeah. So at the end of service, I said, in my head, I said, you know, you get mad at God like it's His problem. Fine, Lord, I'll do it, you know. I said, look, and I said, okay, the Spirit of God dealing with me. Who here is struggling with their hearing? And I'll tell you what, man, Father, forgive my doubt and unbelief. That new girl raised her hand. And I said, would you come up here? And she came up. And I said to her, this is your, basically long lines of, this is your lucky day, praise God. I said, I was driving today, and I saw this happen in service today. God didn't show me exactly who the person was. I just knew I was ministering to one of the kids. I said, but this is the catch. I got to do what the vision showed me I did. I said, would it be okay? I think it's good to get permission before you do these things. I said, would it be okay? And you know, you talk, youth group talk to them. So the way I said it, would it be okay if I jammed my index fingers in your ears? I said, I saw myself doing it in the vision. She said, yeah, go ahead. So I did. I jammed my fingers in her ears and I said, be healed in Jesus' name. And she starts a carrying on, bawling her eyes out. And I thought in my head, my God, I popped an eardrum. I have hurt this girl. She's not just like, I mean, she's full on crying. And I said to her, what's wrong? And she threw her hands up. I can hear. I can hear. She had almost 90% loss in one ear and 50% loss in another, completely restored. That's the difference between our God and the other gods. Our God's real. Amen? So we're contending for these things. So before I get into more of the service, I want to play for people because number one, God told me to tell the people more. God told me to show the people more. God told me to put these videos, because a lot of people haven't even seen this and don't know why we're talking signs, wonders, and miracles here. But go ahead and play the first one with Pastor Nancy in Jamestown, and then we'll play the one in Iowa. Hallelujah. But go ahead and dim the lights
Father.
Too.
We worship you, Father. We worship you, Father. It seems to me, I don't know, there's something more we need to do. There's something more we need to do. Hallelujah. Brother Joe, you got something? Go for it. Yeah, absolutely.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It was a couple of weeks ago, I was in a service. After the service, the Spirit was just on us so hard. I don't know if you know what I mean by that,
yeah.
But I was sitting there just for about half an hour and was not able to drive home after the service, so I had to have somebody drive me. While I was driving, I had what Brother Hagin used to call a mini vision,
mm-hmm.
And I saw myself and another individual from this area, and I spoke something to them, and I saw that take place. And so I'm going to be up in this area next month, and I thought, well, maybe I'll look that person up and say that. But the Spirit dealt with me. No, come here to this meeting to say what I saw.
Mm.
And so so we got a ticket and came here and do that. And so I want to do that if that's okay. It
Good.
Seems like the right time.
Absolutely.
And I want to minister to you, Pastor Mike Anderson, and your wife can come too. And so appreciate your ministry. There's a dimension that the Lord's going to add to you this evening, to your ministry. And one of the ministry gifts that we see talked about in the Bible, you know, we know the fivefold, but then there's over in 1 Corinthians 12, you have it said a little differently. One of the things is miracles. Miracles. And so what I heard and saw myself do, I'm just going to repeat exactly what I saw in that little vision, and that was this. You've been known as Pastor Mike, but more than Pastor Mike, you're going to be known as Miracle Mike. And if I could ask the elders that are, you know, Pastor Michael, if you don't mind, Pastor Nancy, because we're going to, there's an endowment.
Father, Pastor, this is what I see you doing, walking in your home, walking in your office, and saying, I call the miracles to come, the healings, you come in Jesus' name. I call the incurables to come. I call for the power that deals with the incurable to come. Talk it, call it, speak it, and say it flows here, it flows here, it flows through me, it comes in Jesus' name. And the more you call it, the stronger it'll get, and the more it'll come. We thank you for
I see you saying it, calling it. The more you call it, the stronger it'll come. Well, when I was in Canada, and we had talked about that a little bit, but I had gone away from it, getting in my head thinking, well, I don't want people to think I think I'm anything special, because I sure don't. I didn't plan for that thing to happen. They don't surprise me, because I've been crying out for it, hungering for these things. Not because miracles will bring attention to me, but because miracles will bring attention to Him. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And He knows my spirit. I've already got this worked out with Him in the back room. I know where I'm at and why I want this stuff, you know. And so I was in Canada putting my toiletries out on the countertop, and the Spirit of God said, you're not talking about it enough. You want to see it happen, but you're not saying it. And that's why I started having a conversation. Lord, I don't want people to think. And He brought me back to when Brother Hagin had his mini vision, or that vision of Jesus in the 50s. At Rockwall, Texas, and the Lord Jesus gave Brother Hagin a healing anointing, and we saw that fruit play out in his ministry. Many thousands of people were healed under his anointing. But the thing that Jesus told Brother Hagin was, when he touched the palms of his hands, he said, the more you talk about what I've done for you, the more it will work. And the Lord brought me to that. And I said, oh, that's good, Lord. I said, I believe that. I believe that was true and right. I said, but I need Bible on this. Now go with me real quick to Luke chapter 4. And so the Lord took me to Luke chapter 4. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the meetings. Excuse me. Why are we doing this? Because we need to know what's here. Amen. You don't understand what this place can do for your family, for your kids, for your money, for your bodies. Glory to God, your coworkers, your friends. This isn't just some game we're playing here. This is serious stuff. Life-changing stuff. So I said, Lord, that's great. I know you've told me to speak it, have it ministered in front of people to speak it, but I don't go by what people say. I don't go by what Brother Hagin says, even though Brother Hagin always reverted back to the Word. I said, I need to hear the Bible on these things. He said, okay, I'll take you there. Go to Luke chapter 4, in verse 16. It said, he came to Nazareth, Jesus, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. I can't ever read that without standing on my soapbox. As his custom was, he went to church. Jesus had good church habits, and notice, he walked in victory. They that be planted in the house of the Lord will flourish. Come on. We want what Jesus had. We got to do what Jesus did. Amen. Amen. Anyways, it said he stood up to read. Not only did he go, he served. Amen. Amen. And it was delivered unto him the book, the prophet Isaiah. Verse 17, when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now look what Jesus reads. Now Isaiah, you have to know, they call Isaiah the messianic prophet. What does that mean? He prophesied a lot about the Messiah. He prophesied a lot about Jesus. So Jesus is now finding in the Bible where it's talking about him hundreds of years before. And Isaiah, he opens the book to Isaiah, and Jesus reads, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now he's reading out of the Bible. The Old Testament, of course, didn't have the New Testament yet. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. What's Jesus doing? He's talking about what's on his life. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He's sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it to the minister, and he sat down. Now look at this. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. They were amazed that he would stand up boldly and read and say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to do all these things. And then it says in verse 21, and he began to say unto them, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Basically what Jesus was saying was, today I want you to know I'm stepping into this ministry. Amen. Of the recovering of the sights to the blind, healing the brokenhearted, setting free the captives, all that Jesus said there. He said, I want you to know I'm anointed to do that. Amen. And so the Holy Ghost said, you want to see why you need to talk about it? He said, when Jesus would go places, he would proclaim the Spirit of the Lord's upon me. Now the reason he would do that is because that would raise people's expectation, get their faith through the roof so they could receive. Right? Because go with me to Mark chapter 6. And then we're going to talk about the beatings. This is kind of like what we talked about that Wednesday night, but it's good to hear it again. Especially what you hear what Brother Kevin preached on Sunday night. After our Wednesday service. We're going to do some Holy Ghost connect the dots here. So in Mark chapter 6, so why would Jesus stand up and say, the Spirit of the Lord's on me, the Spirit of the Lord's on me, I have power to heal the blind, I have power to recover it, and all these things. Why would he say that? Because Jesus knew it didn't matter how anointed he was. Jesus knew it didn't matter how bad God wanted the plan of God to happen. Jesus knew it didn't matter what kind of Holy Ghost jack was on his life. Didn't matter. How do we know? Because of Mark chapter 6, verse 1. Jesus went out from there and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. So he went into his hometown. Now let me ask you a question. Where do you think Jesus would have loved to see signs, wonders, and miracles? His hometown. His friends. His family. His people that he would build tables for when he was a carpenter. The people that he did business with, of course he'd want to see those people. Don't we want to see the people around us? If we would have an excitement and a want a blessing meter, wouldn't it be the people that are closest to us that would be the highest on that meter that we want to see touched? Our friends, our family, the people we work with, the people we interact with, of course. So he went to his own hometown. Now remember something. He went from a place to his own hometown. All you got to do is go back to Mark chapter 5 to see where he was. He was over there raising Jairus' daughter from the dead and healing the woman with the issue of blood who had the incurable blood disease of 12 years. Healed her. So he had just come from a dynamic set of miracle meetings. Amen. Why? Because God's a miracle worker and Jesus has the jack on his life to do it. But we see something with the woman with the issue of blood. She had faith. We see something with Jairus. He had faith. So now Jesus is in his own hometown, and you got to think he's walking in there thinking, oh man, we have had some success in our meetings. We are going to rock my hometown. The power of God's going to nail this place, right? Amen. Brother Hagin would say this. He'd say he'd go into a church. He'd have 8 gifts of the Spirit. There's 9 gifts of the Spirit. He said he'd have 8 gifts of the Spirit operation in a week's meeting. I mean, miracles, signs and wonders, tongues, interpretation of tongues, gifts of healings, working of miracles, special faith, words of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning spirits, all these gifts of spirits working. He'd go to the next church, and he said it'd be dry as can be, no gifts of the Spirit operation, so he began to seek God. He said, Lord, what is it? He said, I didn't change anything. I didn't stop praying. I didn't stop fasting and seeking you and believing you. And he said, what is it, Lord? What am I doing wrong? And the Lord said, it's not you, it's the people. Well, let's find out Mark chapter 6. Came into his own country, his disciples followed him, verse 2. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And now look at this. Many hearing him. Who are the many hearing him? The ones that were familiar with him. The ones that recognized him. The ones that were, used to him. You could say it that way. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where does this man have these things? You know what they're thinking? He's a guy that's good with a hammer and nails. Yeah. Come on. Where's he getting this from? Right. Yeah. They were shocked. From whence has this man these things, and what wisdom is that which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Who's this guy? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary? I could take you on a little deeper journey here, but I'll just mention this. Go back in the Bible and look. They don't ever talk about the son of the mom. They were so common with him. You know what they were saying? He's the son of the... And it's hard to say exactly what I want to say with young ears in here. Son of the harlot. You know, the woman that got pregnant that wasn't married? They dumbed him down so much. Look in the Bible. So-and-so begat so-and-so. They always talk about dads. But in Jesus' case, he's the son of Mary. Because we know Mary, she claims she got impregnated by the Holy Spirit. And she wasn't married to Joseph. And back then... get pregnant out of wedlock, it's trouble. Yeah. And so that's a deeper study to look into, but it's interesting that they mention he's the son of Mary. You don't see that in the Bible. Yeah. Always talk about the daddies.
That's right.
Yeah. Praise God, it's true. They dumbed him down so much. The son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judah, and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended, and they're saying, he's one of us. What in the world? Why does he think he could do this stuff? But Jesus said that a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, among his own kin, his own house. Now look at verse 5. And he could. Everybody say could.
Could.
Not would. Not didn't want to. Could. He could there, in that location, do no mighty work. Now wait a second. He just healed, raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. He just healed the woman with the issue of blood. What do you mean he couldn't do a mighty work there? Well, did God change?
No.
No, he doesn't change. He's the same. Did Jesus change? No. He's always the same, but the audience changed.
Right.
He said he could there do no mighty work, except that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. So they got a little bit, but not what they were intended to get.
Right.
Why? Verse 6. He marveled because of their unbelief. So look what he did in verse 6. I'll fix their unbelief. And he went back around the villages teaching, telling them the word. Why? The word brings faith. But why didn't they see a mighty work? It wasn't because of God.
Right.
Wasn't because of Jesus. It's because of the people. Now, why do I tell you that? Because what we talked about that Wednesday night, when the Lord told me, you need to speak it, you need to speak it, you need to speak it, you need to speak it. The more you call it, the more it flow.
Right.
Is because here we have Jesus, the most anointed minister ever. Power, all the gifts of the Spirit in operation under his ministry. Mighty signs and wonders done through his ministry. We see him not be able to do something because of the people.
Right.
Well, we have witnessed that your pastor has been mandated with an anointing, which only means that this area and this church is, because that's why what we're here for. Is anointed with an anointing for miracles, and that's a mandate for this ministry. But if we think that it's going to take place because of what we saw there, and because God wants it, and because Pastor Mike's crying out for it, you're crazy. If Jesus was hindered by the people, don't you think Pastor Mike could be hindered by the people? Because I'm not Jesus. I know that's shocking to some of you, but I'm not Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'm not him. And so when the Spirit of God told me that Sunday afternoon in the hotel, and then took me through Brother Hagin's testimony, took me through the Bible and showed me Scripture, said, this is why you need to say it, took me back to Mark chapter 6. I said, I'll start saying it, Lord. Because when I talk about Miracle Mike and the miracles, we're not talking about anything that I personally can do or have. I'm not a miracle worker. God is the miracle worker. But if I put it before you and get you on board, and your house is saying the power of God flows through my pastor, the power of God flows in that church, miracles, signs, and wonders flow in that church, the level of our expectation is going to rise so much, it's going to give God an atmosphere to do those things.
Amen.
Do you think God wanted to move in Nazareth? Absolutely. You think God wanted to do something in his hometown? Absolutely. You think Jesus did? Absolutely. But the people hindered it. So then let's fast forward now. So I preach that message on that Wednesday night, get people on board, tell people I'm going to start showing those videos more. Why? Because every time I watch that video, something stirs in me.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, you need to know your visitation. Think about this. Do you know how many other ministers were in that room that night? You know who the one minister that God called out to do that in front of hundreds of people was? Your pastor. That means this place is in store for some amazing things.
Hallelujah.
I've been seeking God for this stuff. So fast forward now. So the Durants come and they start Sunday night in Pastor Michael's church. What does Kevin Durant start talking about? Speaking your testimony. And what does he start to mention? He says, Brother Hagin's. He brings up Brother Hagin's thing in the hands. Brings up when Jesus, he pretty much partly preaches my Wednesday night service. And we have a bunch of our people from here and from Olean in that service to hear it, which stamps an approval and a confirmation that your pastor's not crazy. Because if I say it, big deal, because you have me every week, but when the prophet comes in and says it, ooh, we perk up and listen. And I'm saying that sarcastically. I know many of you listen and take what I say, but he got up there and said the same thing. And it confirmed. Well, then we had the meetings, and now I want to go into some of the things that the Durant said we'll close here at normal time that we do. We're getting somewhere here today because this is not only going to bless this area but bless you. Some things were said in these meetings by the prophet of God who knows nothing about me, hardly any personally. Don't talk to him on the phone. Don't text. Don't come in knowing nothing. Things were said and declared from that office that we have been saying and declaring for years, but the prophet came in and stamped the approval and the confirmation, and we need to ever put it before you to keep your faith and expectation up. Because if we become Jerusalem, and this becomes an average place, and this becomes normal, we'll just get normal. But if we put the honor that is on this place, and that what God did by putting this place here, we'll get abnormal results. Amen. Hallelujah. So listen to what the prophet said. The prophet, I'm just writing some quotes. I went back and listened to the service, some of the services on Sunday morning, and marked what he said. God is doing something extraordinary here. This isn't a normal place. To even start a church in this town naturally is foolishness. But the Spirit of God told my pastor years and years ago, gave him a vision and said, there's going to be a church in South Dayton, New York. And that church is going to be a great door in effectual or a great door of opportunity for people. And we've seen it come to pass. We've seen lives change. We've seen another whole church be built out of this church. Praise God. And my pastor thought, why in the world would you start a church in South Dayton? You go where the people are. We're in the people business. But the Lord told him. Now, he didn't see what pastor would pastor it. So he'd been waiting all these years for God to send him the pastor. Well, in August of 2009, I was working in Jim and Sue's cherry orchards, picking up cherry brush, praying and seeking God. And the Spirit of God dropped it on me and said, in fall of 2010, you will start a church in South Dayton, New York. And I went and told my pastor, said, this is what the Lord spoke to me. Spoke the same thing to her on a separate occasion. I said, this is what he said. He said, pastor, I had a vision years ago, and he started telling me the story. He said, God told me there'd be a church in South Dayton, there'd be a great door of opportunity. He said, but he just never showed me who the pastor was. Now I know. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Ta-da! Thank you, Lord. I'm here. Yeah. This is just a side note, and it's amazing to me. This person's asked to remain anonymous, so I'll honor that, but this person that told me this is faithful. Been with us a couple years, faithful to serve, knows the word, loves God. Almost sheepishly told me this. And I understand that because when God speaks things to you at times, you don't want to draw attention to yourself. I almost had to, you know, drag this out of that person. I've mentioned it before, but we had a congregation member who was sitting out front of the church. It wasn't a church back in 1979. It was a building here talking to God about their life. And the Lord gave them a vision. Said they haven't had a vision since or after that, you know, before or after that. Gave them a vision that this building that they were sitting across the street from looking at was going to be a church someday. And in the vision, they saw people coming and going out of this place. Now, the interesting thing about that vision that was given that person, that was January of 1979, that's when I was born. Right. January of 1970. And they didn't know that when they told me that. I said, yeah, I got to stop you and let you know that's when I was born. Yeah. That's when I came into the world, praise God. I was, you know, that heater bodysuit thing that I have that I wear in the stand, you know, it cuddles you up like a cocoon. I was with my Amish friends the other day. I said, man, this brings me back to when I was in my mama's womb. And then I was born in January of 1979, the same month and year that someone faithful that God was saying, I'm going to put a church there. It's going to bless you. Praise God. This is a supernatural thing here. God is doing something extraordinary here. What did he say? Wait till you see what is about to happen here. Amen. What have I been telling you? We haven't even scratched the surface. Just wait and see what God's going to do here. He said, you're just now getting a taste of what's to come. He said, there'll be great acceleration in this ministry. Things are going to be done at an exponential rate, and they won't take as long in this place as other places. Amen. So the prophet came in and basically told you everything that I've been spouting off with my little mouth for years. Just wait. Just wait. We're just scratching the surface. Now, why am I telling you this? Because if you're called here, you need to recognize what's in your midst. Amen. Because your honor level will go through the roof. Your expectancy level will go through the roof when you realize, wow, God's doing something amazing in my church, and I'm a part of it. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. So let me bring this around here and tie this thing up. Our job then, now this is what the prophet said. Almost word for word, what I said on that Wednesday night and bringing that out about how we got to speak the miracles. I wish it would just be up to me, because I can control just me. I know I can cry out for it. I know I can crave it. I know I can desire it. But I got to get you on board to do it, or we won't see it. Right. Jesus needed the people on board to see it. Right. I need you on board. What does that mean? I need you on board at home. Someone asked me last night, how do we stir it up, Pastor Mike? I said, you start saying what your pastor's been saying. You start saying what the Word's been saying. You start saying what the Word spoke over your pastor saying. You start saying on there what that says. You start saying the miracles flow through my pastor. The power of God flows through my church. South Dayton will never be the same. The miracles, signs, and wonders, we'll see it. We're believing you for it, God. Stretch forth your hand. If we could get everybody crying out for those things on a daily basis, my God. Because how do you show somebody you're hungry for something? Well, like I've always used my daughter for an example. I know when Abby wants something. And when she doesn't want something. Right? She'll see. There's a lot of things she sees and says she wants, but then I never hear about it again. I know she doesn't want. I don't even take second notice. But the things that she keeps coming back to me about, I know, oh my gosh, she's relentless. She really wants this thing. Let's just get it for some peace. Let's just get it. She wants it, but it's the continual coming. Shows me she's hungry for that thing. Well, the Bible says we're to crave and desire spiritual gifts. Blessed are those that are hungry. Well, how do we show God that we're hungry? Oh, Father, we want signs, wonders, and miracles. Oh, signs, wonders, and miracles. Miracles, signs, and wonders. Healings and power flowing. You go to God every day. Well, why? It's not because God needs his ego stroked, but God can only move where hunger takes him. He's a God that's bound by faith. Faith moves God on the scene. So when we cry out for it and ask him and crave it, we're giving God an open door to move. Why doesn't God just flow his power into every single place? Because he can't. Hunger brings him on the scene. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst. Not everybody's blessed. The hungry and the thirsty ones. But we've seen in the Word, doesn't matter how anointed somebody is, no matter what mandate, what words they've been given in a church services, it matters what the people do with it. And Brother Kevin said, this is the quote he said, this is your church, and if it's going to be, it's up to you. And remember he had you repeat, if it's going to be, it's up to me. If it's going to be, it's up to me. Remember he said, this isn't Pastor Mike's church. The signs, wonders, and miracles don't rest and fall with me. They rest and fall with you. Amen. Yeah, if it's going to be, it's up to you people. I wish I could shake you and get you to realize how important you are. How vital you are to seeing the power of God in this area. It's not going to happen because of me, and it's not going to happen because of me. I am giving you my word. I will live so jacked up on the Holy Ghost every single day for the rest of my life. Contending for it and going after God. But that won't be enough because Jesus was filled with Jack. Jesus contended for it every day, and we see he was hindered in an area. It's up to us. He said, it's your receptivity, your passion, and your reverence level. Hallelujah. He said this, now listen to this. We got to be careful that you don't do with me what they did with Jesus. What do I mean? Become so familiar. Let me give you an example. Now, I'm thankful that people make extra arrangements to be here on a Wednesday or a Sunday night. But what about when I show up here every single Wednesday and bring the power of God? It's not as special to people because that's just Pastor Mike. But when the guest ministers come in, now I understand our flesh and our mind getting excited with something new. But if our spirits are all of a sudden turned on by something different and our spirits aren't as turned on as they should be on a Sunday morning and a Wednesday night, we have problems. It's the truth. And let's face it, people show up here for the Durants. Ooh, I'm so excited. What's God going to do? Why aren't you showing up on a Sunday morning? Why aren't you showing up like that on a Wednesday night? It's because we get so familiar with what's here. But listen to what the prophet said. Remember, wasn't it interesting that the week before on a Sunday morning, I preached about the local church and the pastor's office? And this is what the prophet said. He said, if you will come with the same expectancy for what God wants to give you through your pastor as you have come with meetings we're having, when he was talking about the meetings he's having. He said, what the meetings like we're having with them, with the miracle signs and wonders and the words given out, he said, those will become the norm around here if you will show up with the same expectancy that you did when the Durants were here. Now again, your flesh and your mind might not be as excited, but you can stir your spirit up. How do we stir your spirit up? Praying for the pastor. On your way here, oh, Father, I thank you. That's my man of God. He's going to have a word for me this morning. He's going to have a word for this church. He's anointed. The mantle of God's on his life. And I'm going to get something today. And I'm going to sit on my spiritual edge of my seat and get something from heaven today. That's stirring it up. That's showing God you have hunger. Listen to what he said. He said, you can get used to your man of God and not recognize how uniquely special it is and what's happening through your pastor. And you can. Do you know how many people, I could go around the room and testify that when people hooked up with this ministry and got under this covering, how their lives dramatically changed because of the anointing on the pastor's office in their life. It wasn't the prophet that changed their lives. Was it the evangelists and the teacher and the apostle? It was the pastor being faithful day in and day out to pray, study the word, hear from heaven, show up on Sunday and tell you what God's saying. Show up on Wednesday, tell you what God's saying. That's why lives are changing around here. But if we're not careful, we'll become Mark chapter 6 and just going to church today. That's why people leave this place. You know what breaks my heart the most is the people that have left this place that saw miracles in their body, saw jobs happen that they gave credit to the church for getting them, houses that they got. Well, what's the reason? They didn't recognize their visitation. They didn't recognize what was in their midst, what they had here. Oh, man. I was so thankful the prophet came in and said these things, because at times I feel like you can preach and just falls on deaf ears because I'm just Pastor Mike. I'm just that guy you always see. It's true. That's just human nature. Human nature. I'm not fishing for compliments here. I'm just telling you how it is. They did it to Jesus, they'll do it to me. Right? They did it to Jesus, they'll do it to me. But when they did it to Jesus, it hurt their lives. You showing up with dishonor doesn't affect me. I'm going to walk out of here blessed no matter what. I'm going to walk out of here provided for. My kids are going to serve God. I'm going to be healthy all the days of my life. Regardless of how you treat me, how what honor you show up, but what we get done in here and how it affects your life is dependent on you. If it's going to be, it's up to me. That's what you need to say. If it's going to be, it's up to me. You have a part to play. Hallelujah. Praise God. Remember what he said this? We're almost done. Your future prosperity is connected to this ministry. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Go with me real quick to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. People that have separated, they don't even have a covering anymore. Why? They don't have a revelation. They don't have a revelation. I pray for those people. Yeah. You know what I pray for? One of the things I pray for is when I'm done, I say, Father, and I also lift up everyone that's supposed to be here. Because there's people that are not here right now. They're supposed to be here. Yeah. They're supposed to be in these seats, and they're not. And I pray for them. I don't just let them go. I say, no. Those are my sheep. And I want them back, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18. And I won't stop praying for them and releasing my faith till Jesus tells me to stop. Hallelujah. Look what it says in verse 18, 1 Corinthians 12. It says, but now, God has set the members. God has set. Everybody say, God has set.
God has set.
The members, every one of them in the body, as He pleases. Now, can I step on some American cultural church garbage, please, for a second? In America, our idea is, I'll pick where I want to go to church. I'll go to church where I want to go to church. No. You go to church where God tells you to go to church. God picks you up and sets you in a place. Amen? And some people, you're all here today, but there's people that have come out of places. And I told this last night to people in Ole, and I said, if you're in a church and they're not preaching the word, God doesn't want you there. The word tells you that.
Yeah. Right.
We don't stay in a church because of the fellowship is good, or I have a click with this group, or, I've to the traditions here. No, Jesus said the number one thing you need to be concerned with as a sheep is getting fed.
Right.
Amen. And so when you go in a place like this, and we're not the only place that preaches the word, but if you're here today, and in your spirit you know this is home, then this is where you camp out. And you don't even entertain the thought of going anywhere else. Until you don't go somewhere else because somebody rubbed you the wrong way. You don't go somewhere else because I don't like the children's programs around here. No. God sets you in a place. And when you know you're home, you make yourself at home. Hallelujah. It's the truth. And people, they don't get a revelation. They think, I'm just going to up and leave. I'm mad. I'm ticked off about this. They're not following the Bible. Now, will everybody be called here? No. But the people that are called here, you know that you're called here. Plant. Plant. What's that mean? When the doors are open, be here. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'll close with this. I've told this. I haven't told it enough, and I need to get back on telling these things. I get in my head sometimes, you know, about it's like that money thing today. I knew I was supposed to say it, and I wrestled with it all the way here this morning. I said, man, Lord. I said, I don't want people to think I'm trying to manipulate $10,000 on me. He said, if you tell it this way, they're not going to be able to, because it's not like we're telling anybody specific or putting pressure on anybody. He told me that he already been wrestling with them. So I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. But I get so careful about things, and I get in my head sometimes, and it kind of can squelch the power a little bit, but when I started this church in South Dayton, in the beginning, the Lord gave me a vision. I've only had a handful of visions in my life. And those are biblical, according to Acts chapter 2. Some of you have had them. And, they're as the Lord wills. You can't turn them on, turn them off. It'd be neat if you could, but you can't. And I had a vision of a train. And on this train, it was going, and there was people on the train. And it was stopping at different places along the track. And it was like this lamppost type thing. But on the lamppost, there were signs. You ever seen those, like the signs and say things on them? And the lamppost, like old, it kind of looked like the old days, you know? And I noticed on the signs were written different words, and people were getting off there. And the train would keep going, and people get off the next stop. And I noticed what the words on the sign said. Healing, prosperity, restoration, protection, freedom from fear, freedom from depression, all these signs. And I saw people getting up. And the Spirit of God said this. He said, and he was talking about the supernatural placing of a church in South Dayton. He said, the people, and I'll get my words here, because if you don't get my words, you might think of manipulation. He said, the people that are called to be here, the people that I've told, that guy is your pastor, the ones that will plant and get faithful, he said, they'll walk into things that they never would have walked into apart from coming to this place. Amen. And we've seen that come to pass in people's lives. Right. Prosperity, salvations, miracles, healings in people's lives that it didn't happen until they got on board here, because this is a God-ordained thing. Now again, he said the people that are called here. Not everybody in the body of Christ is called to be in South Dayton. I recognize that. I also recognize there's other people doing amazing things in the body of Christ. But there are people that God will say, he's your pastor. He's your pastor. Plant and get faithful. And I'm amazed at the people. Now again, just change, repent. God loves you. The people that are so unfaithful to this place, and you know, they'll just up and leave. You won't see them ever again, or you don't see them for a long time. They don't recognize how special and the power that's in this place to change every area of your life. Right. Listen to me. You're struggling financially? Get faithful here and watch it change. Yeah. You're struggling with your kids and having them obey you and different things they've been diagnosed with and told? Get faithful. God will change your kids. Right. You're struggling financially and thoughts and depression. Get faithful in the house of God. Why? He said if you'll plant in the house of God, the result will be flourishing. Depression's not flourishing. Having kids that don't mind is not flourishing. Being broke is not flourishing. Being worried is not flourishing. Plant here. What does planting mean? You be here as much as you possibly can be here. Hear what's being... Remember what he said, the prophet said? When your pastor ministers, it's like a heavenly IV drip. Going into you, a heavenly IV drip of what? How to raise your kids, going right in you. What to do with your money to get blessed. How to have your bodies healed. What to do with your mind. What to do with all these things. But when people aren't here, it goes undone. I was talking last night and saying, just talking to someone about somebody that had been gone for so long. I said, all that they missed. And they come back in the same spot. And I was like, that's not the way it's supposed to be. By now, should be at a different place, but praise God, God's merciful. And God will do supernatural speeding things up. So if you're one of those people who say, I've not been faithful, I've not recognized, I've not realized, I'm going to get faithful. God will restore all that could have been at this point. Amen? They knew not the time of their visitation and they missed out. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, this place is awesome. Not the name of the building and not the name of the ministry, I mean, and not the pastor. What God's doing here is awesome. And we are going to see some things that are going to be like the book of Acts, people. If I can get you on board to be hungry like I'm hungry, to cry out for these things, to be sacrificial. Remember Smith Wiggles, I've never done this before. I'm going to put my Bible down here to really make you think I'm closing. Remember what Smith Wigglesworth said? Just to help you, keep you in the game a little longer, you know? He said, with every fresh revelation comes a fresh consecration. What's the fresh revelation we've gotten? This place is awesome. God's got a mandate for this place through other ministers that they don't know what's going on, what we've been crying out for, and they're saying the same thing. The prophet comes in, says the same thing. But we also got a revelation that doesn't matter that God wants it. Doesn't matter that I want it. You got to want it. So why does it come with so that's a fresh revelation. What's the fresh consecration? The giving of yourself, time-wise. To be on your face, to cry out for other people's miracles, for other people's signs and wonders. Hallelujah. So, we'll see if it comes to pass. It ain't no pressure on me. Ain't no pressure on God. And we don't have to take pressure either. Let's just do the word. Amen. So I'm asking you to commit. Because these services were a come up higher services. And all these Holy Ghost connect the dots are telling us what is happening here is not normal.
That's right.
It's not normal.
That's right.
It's not church as usual around here. Let's pray. Father, we thank you.
Oh,
we thank you, Lord. Father, we're hungry. We have family members and friends and co-workers and random people we run into at the store and the gas stations and different places that need you. Father, the dinner bell of bringing them in is going to be signs, wonders, and miracles. Father, I've been faithful to do what you've said to do, to say what I need to say. Father, I know Miracle Mike has nothing to do with me. I'm just the vessel that it'll flow through. But I didn't do that. I didn't make that up or try to concoct that and make that happen, Father. We thank you, Lord, for what's on this ministry. We thank you what's on this place, Father. We thank you that we're a part of something special. And Lord, what an honor. If you've called us to this church, what an honor that we get to be a part of it. And not just as spectators. Not just people that sit back and watch, but we get to be participants that actually cause this motor to go. So, Father, we take that seriously. And we say we're going to walk out of here changed, and we're going to walk out of here different. And we're going to do those things which you've placed on our heart to do. Which you've called through this pastor and this ministry. We're going to do those things, Father. We thank you for signs, wonders, and miracles. We thank you for the power of God. Father, I say the power of God flows through me. The power of God flows in this place. Father, I thank you for the incurables. I thank you the incurables come and are cured. I thank you the impossible's made possible, Father God. We thank you for it, Father. We praise you. And Lord, the greatest miracle ever was Jesus. If I could ask everybody to bow your heads, close your eyes. Maybe you already were, but keep your eyes closed, please, and heads bowed for respect for other people. Everybody ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? If your answer isn't a 100% heaven, I'm here to give you good news that can be. If you're listening by live stream, this goes for you as well. Now, if you've already done this, you don't have to do it again. I don't care if you had a bad night, a bad day, a bad week. If you've asked the Lord in your heart, it doesn't matter if you messed up and missed it. He didn't leave. Just repent and ask him to forgive you, and he will. But if you can say, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. Or if you can say, I know I'd go to heaven, but you don't have a reason why you think you'd go to heaven, I'm here to help you. The Bible says there's only two ways to get there, two conditions you have to meet. Thank God they're easy. It doesn't doesn't require being a member of this church or giving any money or jumping through any religious hoops. The two conditions that are required of a person to go to heaven, number one is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, whoever believes on me would not perish. So you got to believe in him. You got to believe that he was real. You got to believe that he died and rose again. The second condition is, it's not enough to just believe in Jesus. You know, the devil meets that qualification. He knows Jesus is real. He knows the devil, or the devil knows Jesus died and rose again. He saw it. But the second qualification that the devil will never get is, you must call on the name of the Lord to be saved. That's it. Believe and call. You have to invite him in. The Bible says that Jesus said that I stand at the door and knock. I don't break it down. I don't barge in. He needs an invitation. So if you're here and you've never asked him into your heart, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Again, if you've already done this, don't raise your hand again, because by raising your hand again, you're acknowledging, I don't believe it was real the first time. No, if you meant it the first time, he came in you. He'll be in you. He's there. He's taking up residency. He's living with you, praise God, for the rest of your life. But if you're here, you could say, I've never asked Jesus into my heart. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you just raise your hand in the air? If you've never done it before, anybody at all in this service ever received, that does not receive Jesus? Father, I don't see any hands. That doesn't surprise me. But if by chance somebody in this service has not made Jesus the Lord of their life, I pray they would not pass from this earth until they do so. And if you're listening by live stream and I obviously couldn't see your hand, the way to get saved is just confess him. Just simply say, Lord, I do believe in you. I do believe you died and rose again, and I'm asking you, come into my heart. If you prayed that simple prayer and meant that, he's come into you. He loves you. He's your Savior now. You have heaven as your eternal destination. Now the next step for you is to get planted in a local church. A church like this one that teaches the Bible. A church like this one that talks about signs, wonders, and miracles. A church like this one that allows the Holy Ghost to move freely. Get planted in that church and begin to do all that the Bible says to do and watch your life change. Now before we go this morning, let's just lift our hands and praise him. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. Just love on him. You ought to get used to being able to talk to him. We love you, Lord. You know, when somebody gives you a gift, I hope you say thank you. I hope it's not weird to you to say thank you. Well, he gave us a gift. It's Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise and magnify you. Now, Father, as each and every person goes, I pray that they'd be blessed and protected as they go. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget, Wednesday night, 6:30, you're dismissed. So we
Your presence now here with us, the sound of praise. Oh.